HRNradio.com, where positive people and podcasts unite.
Green blessings. This is Susan Weed, the voice of the Wise Woman tradition and the author of the Wise Woman Herbal Series, welcoming you to HealthyLife.net. Thanks for tuning in for another hour of green blessings from the green heart of Susan Weed to you. I read more than 100 periodicals every month, from the strictly scientific all the way out to the edgy fringes, looking for the best, most reliable, most inclusive, and most up-to-date health information just for you, so you can maintain and regain optimum joyous health. Join me each and every month for wise advice on herbs and health, with a special emphasis on women. Together, we will reweave the healing cloak of the ancients and reclaim herbal medicine as people's medicine. Here we are. December is getting darker, darker, darker. And so this month we're going to focus on sunny, smiling sunflowers to help us not feel so sad about the darkness. Meanwhile, what's up in the news? A lot of little interesting kinds of going along with it things, I think, of these kinds of things. Like, we have talked at length about coffee and the fact that coffee is actually an herb and it's okay for you. Now, data from 16 years of data from a quarter of a million adults found that those who drink 2 to 4 cups of coffee a day have their suicide risk. If that isn't enough to make you feel happy, I don't know what is. So if you're feeling sad this winter time, you might want to try some coffee. One of the hidden benefits of coffee, it seems to make us feel better about life, so we're not so likely to commit suicide. Where I come from, that's not an acceptable choice. I was even very upset for decades about one of my real, like, heroes of Scott Nearing, because when Scott got to be 100, he found he couldn't pick up a piece of firewood and bring it into the house, and so he refused to eat or drink from that point on. He said, if I can't contribute, then I'm not worth feeding. And I was really upset at him, because I consider that a form of suicide. As I passed my 70th year, I begin to understand more what he was getting at 100. And I'm sure that he didn't have to worry about this next nose newt, which is that there are a lot more grapefruit drug interactions than we may have thought before. You probably already heard that grapefruit really improves the functioning of the liver. So does hypericum perforatum. Well, it turns out that these things that improve the functioning of the liver really help the liver get rid of drugs a lot more quickly. In fact, scientists have now identified 85 common drugs, including those taken for infections, cholesterol-lowering, gastrointestinal disorders, that interact with grapefruit, and nearly half of those could actually potentially cause a serious adverse effect. Common effects of grapefruit interactions range from dizziness and urinary retention to, as I said, lack of drug effectiveness and gastrointestinal bleeding. And grapefruit juice caused drug interactions at levels much lower than suspected. As little as a glass, a single glass of grapefruit juice can actually cause interactions with drugs. That's very harsh on those of us like myself who vastly prefer grapefruit juice. Oh, gosh, I hate to guess I don't have to worry at all, since I'm not taking any drugs, and I'm sure that Scott Nearing wasn't taking any drugs either, but I know he didn't grow grapefruits in Maine. He may have when he visited Florida. What else do we have going on? Well, rice is okay. You may have heard there was a big brouhaha in Consumer Reports. They had a really great article this past summer on why gluten is perfectly fine as a food, and that many people who were avoiding gluten were eating a lot more rice, and that rice appeared to be have very high arsenic levels. However, a study which evaluated data from almost 50,000 men and over 150,000 women found that participants who ate less than one serving of rice compared to those who ate five or more servings a week, there was no difference of any kind in their health. So rice is nice. You're fine with your rice. Don't worry about it, but don't worry about the gluten either unless you're actually celiac. But while rice is nice, cola is not. A study published in the journal Cancer Epidemiology, Biomarkers, and Prevention shows that people who drink two or more sugar-sweetened soft drinks a week, this is not a day, two or more a week are 87% more likely to get pancreatic cancer. Researchers believe that it is the fructose in the cola bumping up insulin, which contributes to pancreatic cancer cell growth. You know what our answer is. Drink your nourishing herbal infusions. And if you don't know about nourishing herbal infusions, check out the archives here at HealthyLife.net or my YouTube, the Susan Weed YouTube channel. I'll be right back with some sunny sunflower here at HealthyLife.net.
Give yourself some love with our self-care programs at hrnradio.com.
Green blessings. This is Susan Weed here with you at HealthyLife.net. Let's smile at sunny sunflowers. Sunflowers are known to botanists and herbalists as helianthus. Heli is a word that you've heard before. Helios, it means the sun. And anthos means flower. So helianthus is literally sunflower. Has anybody ever told you that sunflowers turn to face the sun and you tried to see them doing that and you didn't think that they did? I've been there. I've read in many places that you grow sunflowers and that's it. They're just going to turn and face the sun. But they don't. But they do. So here's what I found out by doing a little bit of sleuthing. When sunflowers are actively growing, the green part, growing, then the plant follows the sun. The leaves and their large, rather heart-shaped green leaves actually make themselves so that they face the sun all day long. They're like little solar collectors. But once they start to make flower buds and come into flower, they go to the east and that's it. They just stay facing the east. They don't turn around anymore. I think, I couldn't find this out, but I think it's because that sunflower seed head is really big and really heavy, and it's just kind of like too much to drag around there following the sun. So they say, okay, east is probably going to be the best. So that's what we're going to do. The Helianthus genus, which is part of the Asteraceae family, has over 70 species in it. So that Aster family is a really big family, and it contains things like echinacea and chamomile and lettuce and artichokes and daisies. It's a big family. And the Helianthus is a genus, and there's 70 different species of Helianthus. One of the most interesting things that I found out about sunflowers is that we're beginning to believe that they were probably one of the very first cultivated crops in the Americas. We know that edible sunflowers, what we think of as sunflower seeds, right, are native to the Americas. In fact, almost all of those 70 species are found in North America, except for three species which grow in South America. So this is not just from the Americas, it's really a North American plant. And the wild species of a sunflower produces pretty good seeds. So it's a little hard for us to really tell when people started cultivating, because what was being cultivated was just the wild ones were being brought into cultivation. But it seems that it was likely that it was even before corn was brought into cultivation, because the progenitor of corn really doesn't look much of anything at all like corn. It's a lot more work to make a food plant out of corn than it is to make a food plant out of sunflower seeds. Now, sunflower seeds did not just stop there. Yes, the ancient peoples in the Americas loved sunflower seeds. And when the Spaniards and other people started coming to the Americas, they soon realized that sunflower seeds were indeed one of the golds. People had talked about the New World being a land of gold, and if you've ever seen a field of sunflowers, there's certainly nothing more sunny and golden than a field of sunflowers. So sunflower seeds were taken back to Europe. They're pretty hardy and easy to grow. They're a favorite first plant for children because it's a pretty big seed, and you poke it in there, and a big plant grows up from it, and people in Europe are really happy with sunflowers and sunflower seeds, both decoratively and as a food plant. And then one of the czars of Russia, visiting Holland, saw sunflowers and was totally taken with them and got some seeds, took it back to Russia, and didn't just start growing sunflowers, started a whole like government-sponsored sunflower program. And there was a real incentive here. Apparently, the primary religion practiced by the people in Russia mandated that on certain fast days, a list of oils was not allowed to be used. Animal fats and oils that were specified weren't allowed to be used, and it really left the people with very little to use. And sunflower oil was not on that list. So the push here was to develop varieties of sunflower that were very high in oil. And that has been done. As a matter of fact, I will talk a lot more about that because that research, hybridization, and movement with the sunflowers continues on to this very day as we look for a way to get the enormous benefits from sunflowers and to cut down on the, there is a short list, but there are some list of non-benefits from sunflowers as well. And part of that has to do with the constituents in the oil, which are very high in omega-6 fatty acids. But let's keep looking at the seeds. We will get to the oil. We'll be talking about the oil because the seeds have a lot of lore associated with them. As you may know, I am a initiated member of the Wolf Clan of the Seneca Nation and a peace elder of the Seneca Nation. And the Seneca Nation is one of the great peaceful nations. And this is the story that I remember being told about sunflower seeds. There were two young girls, and they were best friends, as only little girls can be best friends. And so you can imagine the disappointment when one of the little girls learned that her family was going to be traveling far away to visit some distant relatives and that she might be gone for a year or more. She and her friend were as unhappy and unconsolable as any little girls ever were. And she decided that she would give her friend a parting gift. And so she took some skin and an awl and some sinew and she sewed a small pouch. And she filled this pouch with sunflower seeds. And she gave it to her friend. And she said, though I will be far away, I want you to keep this pouch nearby so that you will remember me. And she had made a sinew string to go around the girl's neck so that she could wear this pouch of sunflower seeds close to her heart. And so the little girl left with her family, and the other girl who remained had a pouch of sunflower seeds, which she wore on a thong around her neck. Now, it came to pass that indeed the little girl who was with her family did not come back soon, and it was more than a year. And during that time, the little girl kept the sunflower pouch with her day and night. She wore it around her neck all of the time. And there came a day when she came home from doing something, and she realized the pouch was no longer around her neck. Sometime during the day, the thong that held the pouch on broke. And she didn't know where it had broken, and now she was very, very sad. But there was no possibility for her to go back and look for it. And soon snow came, and now there was no possibility at all. But when the spring came, there was a miracle. And the miracle was that from the pouch that had fallen off of her neck, green began to grow. And these green shoots soon got bigger and bigger and bigger. They became taller, much taller than her, taller even than her parents, so tall, like a big, tall beacon. And from the top burst a beautiful, yellow, big flower. And when that flower opened, her friend returned. And this is why sunflower seeds are the mark of friendship among the people of the great peaceful nations. Sunflowers are in books about symmetry. The symmetry of the sunflower seeds as they are packed into the center of that flower is an incredible sight to behold. And as with many plant features, it expresses the golden mean, the Fibonacci movement through. So we see this very beautiful flower, and we can understand that for many people it expresses something that is beyond even a religious feeling. It is so deeply spiritual and so profoundly settling that this Fibonacci series, the golden mean, occurs in nature and shows us the perfection of nature, and the sunflower seed is truly the emblem of that. I was surprised to find out that most sunflowers are perennials. The wild sunflowers are perennials. Well, Susan, you should have known that, because in your garden you have Jerusalem artichoke, which is also a helianthus. It's part of the sunflower genus, and it's perennial. However, the one that we usually think of, the one that produces the seeds, is an annual. And that makes a lot of sense, because annuals need to produce a whole lot of seeds. So we grow an annual sunflower, Helianthus annuus, and the Jerusalem artichoke, which is a perennial sunflower, which we don't eat the seeds of, because it doesn't make many seeds. It's a perennial, so it's not dependent on seed production. In fact, what the Jerusalem artichoke makes is lots and lots of tubers, and we eat that. All right, sunflower seeds. Can you eat them? You sure can. And if you do, you're going to get niacin and thiamin, pyroxidine and pantothenic acid. Those are also known as vitamin B1, vitamin B2, vitamin B3, and vitamin B5. Lots of folate, that's folic acid, as well as tons and tons and tons of vitamin E. As a matter of fact, a quarter cup of sunflower seeds provides 90% of your recommended daily allowance for vitamin E. Seeing as vitamin E is a nutrient, and a very important nutrient, and when we get to that, that is in short supply in many American diets, a quarter cup of sunflower seeds is an easy way to supply yourself with that vitamin E. Minerals like calcium, copper, iron, magnesium, manganese, phosphorus, selenium, zinc, and even some iodine. Sunflower seeds are rich in protein, but they are especially rich in fat. Unfortunately, most of that fat is in the form of omega-6 fatty acids, but fortunately, most of that fat is in the form of oleic acid and linoleic acid, which, although they are omega-6 fatty acids, they are essential fatty acids, and they are being highly recommended nowadays for people who wish to keep their heart healthy. The list of properties of sunflower seeds was quite extraordinary, you would think, from this list, that it should be a major medicinal herb. It can be an expectorant. It's a diuretic. It's an antioxidant, an anti-inflammatory, an antiviral. It enhances the immune system, and it has been used as a longevity tonic. Well, I think we need to go a little more deeply into these wonderful health benefits of sunflower seeds, and so I will be right back to help us explore them.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
Sunny, smiling sunflowers give us lots of nutrition and help us to avoid a great many diseases. Let me say again, a quarter cup of sunflower seeds gives us 90% of the recommended daily allowance of vitamin E. It also provides 30% of the recommended allowance of selenium, 37% of the recommended daily allowance of protein, 52% of the recommended daily allowance of niacin, and 37% of the recommended daily allowance of folic acid. Sunflower seeds really give us a lot of nutrition in a very small package. Perhaps this is one of the reasons why wherever sunflower seeds are used, and they are used all over the world now, they are thought to improve the energy and increase longevity. Some herbalists in some books believe that sunflower seeds are capable of nourishing the adrenals and thus restoring energy from the very deepest levels. I was very interested to find that sunflower seeds have an old reputation both among native people in the Americas and then as they spread throughout the world in Russia and throughout all the other places that they've gone, that they are considered a really wonderful help to all kinds of lung problems, whether those problems are in the bronchia, in the lungs, or in the throat. Sunflower seeds are highly recommended to help people with breathing difficulties, asthma difficulties, bronchitis, allergies, colds, coughs, flus. Who would have thought? But perhaps the funniest use that I met up with was from James Duke. And James Duke has a recipe for a sunscreen in his book. And I would have expected his sunscreen to use sunflower oil because we know that sunflower oil is very healthy for the skin. But he maintains, and we will talk more about sunflower oil and you'll see why he maintains, that it's almost impossible to get sunflower oil in good condition. And what we really want is the vitamin E. That's the skin protective part. So he suggests that we throw sunflower seeds in the blender with some water and some other herbs and blend it up and make that our sunscreen. I don't know. Maybe the recipe left out the line about straining it. I think you would look a little chinky going to the beach with sunflower seeds smeared all over you. But I'm willing to try it. All right. We find that sunflower seeds have, as I said, a fair amount of selenium, a quarter cup, a third of the selenium you need on a daily basis. And selenium is very strongly linked to reduction of cancer. In fact, selenium induces DNA repair and synthesis at all levels of the body. It inhibits the growth of cancer cells and increases apoptosis, which is cellular death. It is a programmed cellular death that the body can institute when it knows that a cell has been damaged or that it's a cancer cell in the immune system. Starts that process, and it starts it because there's selenium. Selenium is critical to that process. We have found a definite reduction in colon cancer, bladder cancer, prostate cancer, breast cancer, and skin cancer among people eating sunflower seeds on a regular basis. So we can add to our list of things that sunflowers do is help to prevent a variety of different cancers. I mentioned that there's a fair amount of magnesium in sunflower seeds, and magnesium is a wonderful, wonderful mineral. It's one of the minerals we get from drinking our nourishing herbal infusions, and and it is very, very strongly related to the nervous system. Magnesium is one of the most important minerals in terms of good nervous system functioning. Magnesium actually prevents calcium from getting into the nerve cells and activating them. So when there's too much calcium in the blood and not enough magnesium, then the nerves and blood vessels and muscles are in a state of panic. And the magnesium calms everything down. That calcium makes the muscles contract, makes the nerves fire, and the magnesium comes in and says, hey, everybody, it's okay. If we don't have enough magnesium, our blood pressure will be higher, we'll have headaches, we'll get sore easier, we'll have more fatigue. So hooray for sunflower seeds and the magnesium in those sunflower seeds that helps to soothe the nerves, ease stress, eliminate headaches, aid relaxation. And sunflower seeds also contain tryptophan, an amino acid that helps your brain produce serotonin. And serotonin, again, promotes relaxation, relieves tension, and calms down the brain. We also find that sunflower seeds enhance GABA activity in the brain, which reduces anxiety, and some people say even lessens mental illness. Of all of the nuts and seeds that are typically consumed, sesame seeds, sunflower seeds, and pistachios are the highest in phytosterols. Remember, phytosterols, phytosterols, sometimes called phytoestrogens, are substances that can be bioconverted by our body into active hormones that help reduce the risk of a lot of different problems. In addition, sunflower seeds contain antioxidant polyphenols, including chlorogenic acid, quinic acid, and caffeic acid. These help to reduce blood sugar levels. They limit glycogen breakdown in the liver, and they have a lot of really important effects in preventing inflammation in all of the fat-containing structures of the body. These antioxidant polyphenols, coupled with the very high vitamin E activity in sunflower seeds, make sunflower seeds one of the best protectors of all the fat-containing structures in our bodies. And that means every cell membrane, every brain cell, the lining of the blood vessels, the lining of the respiratory system, the digestive system, and the reproductive system, vitamin E, and these antioxidant polyphenols is certainly some of the really important constituents in sunflower seeds that are getting us what is really going to make us healthy from there. The antidepressant protein phenylalanine is also found in sunflower seeds. And back to Dr. Duke again, he says, don't just take your phenylalanine with sunflower seeds naked. Put some chocolate on it, and then you'll really counter the blues. I'll be right back.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net. Millions of listeners know the secret. Now you do, too. Positive talk 24 hours a day, every day.
Green blessings and sunny blessings, the blessings of sunflower seeds. You can buy sunflower seeds. I suggest that you buy small quantities of sunflower seeds, or that if you're going to buy, say, a pound of sunflower seeds, you keep them in the freezer. Remember, they can go rancid very, very easily. I just went through my freezer and had to throw some sunflower seeds that had been frozen out because they went rancid even in the freezer. What else can be a problem with sunflower seeds? Well, they are amazingly high in calories. 100 grams is almost 600 calories. Woo! A serving, that quarter cup serving, is a mere 165 calories, but that's a pretty high amount of calories. Now, you're getting lots of nutrition for your 165 calories, but we want to keep our serving of sunflowers too, that quarter cup a day, and not go overboard with sunflower seeds. I'll tell you my preference in eating sunflower seeds is not to eat the sunflower seeds, but to eat the sunflower butter. And I don't know why. It has less likelihood of going rancid, but I find that I can keep sunflower butter around for a longer time than I can keep the seeds around, and I don't even have to freeze it. It's really easy to spread on bread, and oh, is it easy to get too much of that because it tastes so good. One of the advantages of the sunflower butter is it usually doesn't have any salt in it, and generally when we buy roasted sunflower seeds, they have salt added to them, and they have a lot of salt added to it. As a matter of fact, a single serving has 174 milligrams of sodium. That's just 1 ounce, so that can add up pretty fast, too. Many people buy sunflower seeds in the shell. And that's an advantage. They do stay fresh longer when you buy them in the shell, but then you have to crack the shells, and you crack the shells with your teeth. And they can actually damage your teeth and gums, and I don't know if you've ever done it, but the hulls can actually fragment, and sharp little segments of the hulls can jam themselves up under your gums, irritating your teeth and your gums, and making a trip to the dentist something that you need. Wow, that's not so much fun at all. We talked about how high in selenium sunflower seeds are, and selenium is a powerful antioxidant. It's really active against cancer, and that sounds all to the good, but that high amount of selenium can actually be a problem. If you keep it to that quarter cup serving or a smear of sunflower butter on your toast, no problem. But if you really start to eat a whole lot of sunflower seeds, you can actually ingest too much selenium. When I worked in the health food industry and worked in health food stores in my area, there was never a year that passed without somebody winding up being hospitalized from taking too much selenium as a supplement. I learned in that situation to really respect selenium because I saw people, and people were taking micrograms of it, and that was still too much selenium for them. So it can have really adverse effects. In addition, taking too much selenium increase your risk of diabetes, even if you don't get a direct side effect from it, even if you don't get selenium toxicity, which is why those people were in the hospital, you could still, quite unknown to yourself, wind up with increasing your risk of diabetes. Well, let's go on to sunflower oil, because the sunflower oil picture is also really, really fascinating. The oil content of sunflower seeds ranges from 22 to 36%. And that's the whole seed, including the hull. If we were just looking at the kernel itself is about 45 to 55% oil. This is why we have so much vitamin E and also why these seeds are so good for us. Sunflower oil contains not just vitamin E, but also sterols, those phytosterols we were talking about, squalene, which is incredibly good for the skin, lecithin, carotenoids, and some very interesting waxes. Sunflower oil is also high in arginine, which is a protein which supports collagen construction and is especially used to repair burned skin. Sunflower oil is frequently added to cosmetics because of the incredible effect that it has on the skin and has been shown to actively reduce wrinkles that are already there and prevent more wrinkles from forming. Hooray for sunflower oil. We find that sunflower oil does have some saturated fat. Not a whole lot. Butter is 50% saturated fat, and sunflower oil is 11% saturated fat. So they are definitely not comparable in that way. But we find that butter has 21 grams of monounsaturated fat, and sunflower oil has 20 grams of monounsaturated fat. Where the sunflower oil really shines is the huge amount of polyunsaturated fat that it has. And this polyunsaturated fat is definitely thought to be impressively good for helping the heart. However, those polyunsaturated fats are incredibly unstable. They are susceptible to degradation and oxidation by heat, air, and light. So what happens is that sunflower oil gets refined. First of all, it can be extracted by being pressed or by using a chemical solvent like hexane. Cold pressing, of course, is the preferred way to go with sunflower oil. But most sunflower oil, and especially what you're getting in prepared foods, is solvent extracted, then degummed, neutralized, and bleached. That's great, but it removes the nutrients, removes the flavor, the color, the free fatty acids, the phospholipids, the polyphenols, and the phytosterols. In fact, unless you get cold-pressed sunflower oil is going to be devoid of essential nutrients with the exception of vitamin E, which is high in all varieties of sunflower oil. So we get that good vitamin E there. Now, I mentioned to you before that there is some discussion, and it's an ongoing discussion, about essential fatty acids. Omega-3 and omega-6 are the most notable essential fatty acids. And Weston Price found that the healthy indigenous diet had a ratio of omega-3 to omega-6 of 1 to 1 or 2 to 1. That is, that there was at least as much omega-3 fatty acid in the diet of healthy indigenous people as omega-6 or more. Unfortunately, oils from seeds like sunflower seeds have a very skewed distribution. There's no omega-3 or very little omega-3 in sunflower oil and lavish amounts of omega-6. This means that it's almost impossible for people using sunflower oil as their primary oil to ever catch up on omega-3 fatty acids. And that, to me, is one of the most problematic parts with actually eating sunflower oil. I must say, I'm really impressed by what I'm reading about sunflower oil and my skin. I have lots of oils. I love jojoba oil. I love rose hip seed oil. But I'm going to be trying out some sunflower oil and seeing if it can make a few of my 70 years of smiling wrinkles go away too. And that's the story on Sunny Sunflowers and Sunny Sunflower Oil. I'll be right back to talk about a growing problem in America, and that's pain.
Lighting the way with positive energy and love. HRNradio.com.
This is Susan Weed here with you at HealthyLife.net. Pain. 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 Lots and lots and lots of Americans are in pain. I taught a workshop up at Roe Camp and Conference Center, in which the workshop was about aging well, aging better, and the primary thing that people wanted to talk about was pain, joint pain, pain in their muscles, pain in their this, pain in their that. And we have a growing crisis with pain and pain medication in the United States, because for more than a decade, physicians in the United States have been told that you can give an adult an opiate painkiller with little or no repercussions. We are starting to find that that is just as absurd as it sounds. We have hundreds of thousands, perhaps even millions of people addicted to opiate painkillers, and it is not easy to get yourself unaddicted from opiate painkillers. So what should we do instead? How about over-the-counter painkillers, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs? Well, if you're one of the more than 29 million Americans who regularly use over-the-counter non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs like ibuprofen and naproxen, we have some bad news for you. It turns out that Advil, Motrin, Aleve, and other drugs made from these substances increase your risk of heart attack and stroke, and we're not talking by a tiny amount. Studies reviewed by a Food and Drug Administration advisory panel last year found mounting evidence that non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs increase the risk of heart attack, stroke, and heart failure, whether or not a person has heart disease. No matter who you are, your risk increases when you take these drugs, says Bruce Lambert, director of the Center for Communication and Health at Northwestern University. Increased risk occurs within the first few weeks of taking these drugs and rises with extended periods of taking them and with higher doses. Whew, that's some pretty scary stuff. What is being recommended? Well, the greatest risk is to those who have high blood pressure, heart disease, or who have had a heart attack or cardiac bypass surgery. These people, we're suggesting that you don't take these drugs at all. For others, restrict your use of pain-killing drugs to really severe cases of pain and stick to the lowest effective dose for the shortest possible time. I actually suggest that although it says two on the bottle, try one. See if you can get the pain relief you need with one. All right. For typical over-the-counter non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, the estimated risk increase is about 10%. But if you have a stronger dose of these drugs, which would require a prescription, your risk can go up to 50% higher. So as I said, this is not insignificant. The other possibility, of course, is to take drugs that don't seem to be implicated, and that would be aspirin or acetaminophen, or to use herbs. What an amazing thing, Susan, to suggest that people use herbs to relieve pain. Well, I think it's a good idea. Indeed, that's what I use to relieve my pain. I've always had a kind of iffy feeling about any kind of pain-relieving pill in a bottle. That's partly because you've heard me say that I was born with a kidney weakness, and I know that those pain-relieving things are hard on the kidneys, so I've stayed away from them. So I have found quite a few herbs that help me. One of my favorites is Hypericum perforatum, also known as St. John's wort. I call it St. John's wort. It's a wonderful reliever of muscle pain and nerve pain. I keep a bottle near where I go to sit down and relax in the evening. A dropperful dose can be repeated frequently, and there are no side effects to it at all. How wonderful and easy. If it's heavier pain, and a few times when I have been in trauma, when there has been some kind of blunt force trauma, and I have sprained or strained or really messed my body up, I use Skullcap. Skullcap is one of my favorite pain-relieving herbs. It is also a sleep-inducing herb, but when I'm in that kind of pain, I want something that's going to help me go to sleep. Skullcap tincture is pretty easy to find. I don't find that the tincture made from the dried plant is effective. St. John's wort tincture has to be made from the fresh plant, but almost all the tinctures that you buy will be. Unfortunately, your skullcap won't be. You're going to have to look for a tincture specifically made from fresh skullcap. Coming along, and if you are in a state that allows it, you probably already know that marijuana tincture is one of the best ways to reduce pain. And there are enough places and people and states now where it is illegal that people are starting to cultivate specialized varieties. We just saw this with the sunflowers and how people have actually cultivated specific varieties of sunflowers to have different levels of different kinds of oils. Well, we're doing this with marijuana as well. So we now have plants that have very little THC, which is the part that that causes alterations in your brain, and plants that have lots of CBD, which reduces pain. If you're in a situation where marijuana tincture, especially high CBD marijuana tincture, is available to you, and you're in chronic pain and wanting to get off opiate drugs, this is probably the best step. In my experience and the experience of hundreds of other people, personally and in working with clients, high CBD, low THC marijuana tincture has no addictive qualities at all. You can take it, and when you don't need it anymore, you stop on the dime. It's not a problem, and it can definitely get people over that hump that the opiates create. California poppy is not actually a poppy, but it is somewhat related. and it's also available in a tincture form. All of these herbs are generally taken in tincture form, and it's another one that is recommended for people who are doing their best to get off of opiate painkillers. A local plant here is Meadowsweet, Filipendula, and both Meadowsweet and Yarrow can be used topically to help relieve joint pain. Ah, that wraps up another show here at HealthyLife.net, and it wraps up another year here at HealthyLife.net too. Next year, we're going to be focusing in on herbs for the digestive system. So, stay tuned. We're going to have a lot of fun. Thanks so much for opening your minds, your ears, and your hearts to me and the Wise Woman Way of Healing by Nourishing. This is Susan Weed, the voice of the Wise Woman Tradition, wishing you joyous Christmas, Merry New Year, and green blessings until we meet again.